What do you do when, technically, you should be in a great financial position, but instead you have this rising tide of panic and stress because it's all going to fall apart at any moment? Well, that's exactly the question we're solving from today's mailbag, where time is going to run out pretty quickly if we don't change something. So welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry and get the answers that you need right now. And of course, a wee reminder before we get into this, of course, we are answering a letter here, but we don't know their full financial situation. It's just what's in the letter. So it's general financial information. And if you want individual financial advice, you're going to have to head off to see a financial advisor.
Making Sense has partnered up with EnableMe to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Visit enable.me today.
Okay, to help me pull apart this doozy of a letter, Katie Wesney, Head Strategic Coach at EnableMe. Welcome back. Always love having you on.
Thank you for having me back.
This one's a doozy. Okay, so I think, I'm just going to say up front, I think a lot of people are going to be annoyed by this letter, but it's a real problem that someone has. We all have different problems. So, hi Francis, hoping you can help me. We're currently in an asset-rich, cash-poor situation. Debt-free, no mortgage. The assets are an Auckland home worth $5 million, a Coromandel batch worth $3 million, a share portfolio, $200,000, bank savings account, $30,000. Husband's salary is $1,500 a week after tax, and we have three children. In a nutshell, we have $6,000 coming in each month and spend on average $10,000 per month. Our oldest is in private school. So it's $4,000 short each month. Not sure what is the best way for us to gain access to more cash. We don't want to sell our properties right now. The market is not good, and we love our home and our batch. The batch is not suitable for renting out, as has lots wrong with it. Plus, we use it all summer and school holidays. We intend on downsizing our home in 5 years once the youngest is finished high school. I'm a stay-at-home mum, which I would love to keep doing. So, even though we are very fortunate to be in an amazing overall financial situation, we're feeling stressed about the cash situation because the bank savings we have has been going down fast. We sold our rental property last year, which cleared our mortgage, and we did a renovation. All we have left now from the sale is the $200,000 invested in the share market and $30,000 in the bank. I don't know what is the smartest thing to do, whether we sell some shares once a month to cover the cash shortfall, or leave the shares so that investment keeps growing and get a mortgage again to get us through until we downsize in 5 years. My husband is early 50s, would love to retire. He has previously owned a successful business, and I owned property and had a great salary pre-kids, which is why we are in such a great overall financial situation. But he just got a job again 6 months ago, so we can have some cash coming in. I feel bad to say we're feeling stressed about money when others have far more serious financial situations to worry about in these tough economic times. Like I said, bit of a doozy, very long one. Lots of great details in there, but yeah, a lot happening. Do you have an initial response?
I think they have a great asset position. Obviously worked really hard. I think it will make lots of people cross to hear that they have that level of assets and still feel stressed around money. But the stress is very real, and it's how do they unpack that. I will also say there is no magic bullet in terms of fixing one's finances. And there is an element of they have to prioritize because it's just not serving them at the moment, all of those assets. So what is the path forward in terms of making sure that they can live a life they want, but their position is serving them?
100%. I mean, I look at that and it's funny because you look at the numbers, they're really big numbers, and you kind of look at it and you go, "What? How are you running into a problem here?" But at the same time, you can spend any amount of money, right? And this, I always say, this is why private jets exist.
Absolutely. And I think it is a magnification of a problem that we see quite often, which is people amass property or assets and it's their position is completely illiquid and you can't eat your house. So how do you get that balance right into the future?
Yeah. I mean, you could look at this and say this should ideally be working quite well. Two properties, no mortgage, some investments, very small savings account, I must say, compared to the rest of it. But, you know, stressed. Do you see this coming through often, like to this level?
I do see this come through. This is, again, a really magnified position. But you can also see how you can think you're doing the right thing, live a life that you think that you want, and it doesn't create the outcome that you want. Because when you step back and you look at that position for what it is, they've created a complete illiquid asset position just based around property, of which they're getting zero income. Yeah. And that's not quite right age and stage. So that practically speaking, every month they are going backwards from a cash flow position and they have to fund that somehow. And the proportion of assets that are liquid is, as you said, really small. Mm. So they're going to run into trouble really quickly and they need to make some good decisions.
Okay, so that's the crux of the problem, you reckon, that it's all tied up in property?
Yep.
That is generating no income, because it's right. Entirely different if they had a portfolio of investment properties which was generating income. At the moment, they have a home and a batch which they say they can't rent out. That's the difference in this position.
Okay. So if you had a client come through in this type of situation, I mean, there's a few different income levers I can see where obviously she's a stay-at-home mum. She would like to stay that way. Partner has gone back to work but would like to retire. We've got two properties earning nothing, costing nothing as well. And a share market portfolio, but it's certainly not at the level of funding this sort of lifestyle. Which of those income levers do you look at? What would you be talking to them about on which ones to pull first?
Yeah, so I think they need a really good plan. And first, they have to prioritize, what do you want? Because I think they're saying that, as you said, they don't want to sell the house. They don't want to sell the batch. Mm. She doesn't want to work. Mm. They want to send their child to private school. He wants to retire. I would say to them, you could have three of those things. Oh, and they want security. They don't want to worry about money. So I'd say, well, what are our top three non-negotiables in terms of priorities? You can have three. You can't have all of them, because it's simply not possible with your position. And then we move forward. They have options with their position, but I think that at first we've got to get clear in terms of priorities.
Not so fun fact. When you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at EnableMe specialise in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me.
People often think when they're having these money conversations, it's what should we do that makes the most financial sense, which, you know, fine, that can work. But also, what do you want out of life? You know, if being a stay-at-home mum is super important to you, which it might be, fair play, but you're going to have to make some other decisions.
Yep, there's a cost.
Elsewhere. Exactly. Yeah. There yep. is no decision without consequence, right? So is there a way, like, in order to assess those life priorities and money priorities, is there a way to, should they be going away separately to rank those priorities themselves?
Absolutely. And I think you've got to think, well, what is our best version of a life and how are we going to fund that practically speaking? Because you can't pay school fees through property appreciation, and that's where they have found themselves. You need some cold, hard cash in the bank. So what is important to us and how are we going to fund that thereafter? And they have options, but they do have to land. And I would say they'd have to do it sooner rather than later. They've given themselves kind of 5 years in this kind of a cushy spot. But 5 years of going backwards, that is exhausting and kind of scrapping for every penny. They have options. They just need to land.
Yeah. And they say here, you know, 6K a month coming in, 10K a month going out, and considering plugging that gap at the moment by selling off shares. To my mind, I wonder if that's a little bit of burning the floors for firewood.
100%.
Okay, that would be the same 100%, from you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you're literally getting rid of something that is appreciating just in terms of spend. So yes, you can do it, but is that really the right thing? Because the cost of that is you're not getting those compounding gains thereafter. And I think the other thing they said, oh, well, we potentially could remortgage the property. Well, potentially they could. But again, you're paying compounding interest on that. And I think they really need to get real with themselves. Would they be just as happy living in a $2.5 million property than a $5 million property? It's still a pretty good property, but they have liquidated their position to invest to generate an income thereafter. That feels really sensible in terms of what comes next.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, it's easy for us to step outside this and say, you know, what kind of a problem is this? But I think it is hard for us when we're in the thick of it in our own lives to be like, there really is only ever two ways of tackling this. You can spend less or you can earn more. And so much of money comes down to that. You can spend less or you can earn more. Everything you're going to do with that money is in the gap between spending and earning. And if none of those income options that we talked about before appeal, then they're going to have to spend less. I mean, we've got the private school, we've got, well, there's no mortgage, but, you know, they're, I'm sure, doing upkeep on the house.
Yeah, they'll be sizable.
Right. When you talk to higher income clients, how do you help them get that budget down a little and look at what's has to happen?
Yeah. And I think for everyone, it's understanding, well, what are the things that are important, yeah, making sure that they put structures around that so they have visibility and make sure that's anchored to a goal that motivates them. Super important.
More on that, actually, a goal that motivates them. How would you go about finding that for them? Because I think that's going to be what's key, right? At the moment, they've got all these things in their life that they really want and really want to keep. How would you find a goal that makes it worthwhile making? They're going to have to make some sacrifices, right?
Absolutely. But I think underlying this is that they're operating in a world where they actually think that they have limited choice, and they actually do, because it's that security piece. They're actually worried about money, and that's what we want to anchor our solution to, so they don't worry about money anymore. Because also, pragmatically speaking, they have $8.2 million worth of potential solutions available to them.
Yeah.
We will find a solution.
Yeah.
There is lots of options to them. But they have to acknowledge you can't have everything. So what are the things that we want more, and what are we willing to compromise on?
Yeah. And I think key to this as well is the fact that it's a family household. And it can be tricky when you've got a high net worth couple. This is not in the letter, but I would wonder if they're maybe pulling in different directions, and that's why they've got so many priorities that they're struggling to downsize, right? How do you get couples on the same page if they are struggling to make some hard choices?
Yeah, and I think that's about having really open, honest conversations together. And I actually think involving an external party, like a qualified financial advisor, is really important. Otherwise, it becomes just a relationship thing. You're not listening, yeah, to me. You don't love me. Your priorities are more important than mine. I think having an independent third eye. But actually, when I read that, it's like, you don't have a plan. That is your issue. You don't have a plan. You don't quite know what you could be capable of. Let's explore that in options, in different scenarios. Because they're almost locked into, this is the scenario for the next 5 years. I'm calling BS. It's not. You have lots of different iterations that will actually make you happier. Let's lean into those.
Well, exactly. On that 5-year deadline. So if they came to you and laid out something like this and said, the deadline is 5 years, we'd like to be good in 5 years, what would be sort of the next 2 to 3 steps you would ask them to take?
Yeah, I would say let's really assess what that good lifestyle looks like to you right now. Is there any wiggle room in terms of what it's costing you right now? Then I would say, well, let's iterate on options. Is it an absolute non-negotiable that you don't sell the family home? Potentially, if you had a $3 million home, which is still a really, really nice home, yeah, that would give us room to play with. What does that look like? Because I think showing people different options, you can kind of see yourself in that position and it feels more real. And you're like, actually, that feels like much better, a much better life for us. So I think it's being in the same room, having that open, honest conversation, mediated by somebody else, distilling that into a plan, understanding the numbers. And you've likely heard me say this lots of different times in lots of different ways. It's just potentially these people have a few more zeros on the end, but still same principles, same issues in terms of have a plan, know your numbers, and make sure you execute on said strategy. As you downsize the home,
yeah,
and make sure that you have better investments that will serve you and generate income. Because what a privilege to sit back and have such an asset position. Like, again, well done, should feel chuffed. It's just not serving you. So what's the point?
100%. And I think as well, you know, when you've got kids in the house and you're living this family life, the kids are going to pick up on the stress. I know that they probably want to give them the best start in life with private school and things like that. And that's so admirable, but it must be stressful knowing that you're in this situation and no matter how much you're not talking about it in front of the kids, they're going to pick up on the stress in some of these money conversations, or if they walk in at the end of a money conversation, kids aren't dumb. They're going to know. And I just think if you're willing to make some hard choices in order to reduce that money stress, I think they're going to be happier at the end of it, surely.
Yeah, you create a better family dynamic and you think, well, and we assess this batch, that is a lot of money sunk into an asset that how often do they go to the batch? Because you think, well,
could you Airbnb it? You can get a really nice Airbnb.
Oh, 100%. So potentially sell that, put that in really solid investments, even an investment property and funds. I don't care, but something that generates income, because that's what's missing in this equation. You've accumulated assets that certainly are appreciating in value, but they're illiquid and you're not generating income from it. Fix that and then potentially you won't have to work and spend more time with the kids. Is that your highest value? Let's figure that out.
I love it. I love it so much. Thank you so much. Katie Wesney from Enable Me, calling BS on a couple of things there, giving us the hard words we need to know. Now, if you have a question about anything going on with your money, send it through to us. We can talk through the issues that you've got going on. ask@francescook.co.nz. That'll be in the podcast description, the show notes. So you don't even have to worry about figuring out how to spell it. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.